Welcome, everyone, to RB1 Colon Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Faith Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by all of the guys. We have resident old man Clark Barnes, the working girl Jordan Smith, and ginger woodsman Nick Botifer. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Good.
Doing well.
Splendid.
How are you, Pete?
I am good. I have a quick story to share to start this pod off. Bert and I jumped in the car today and drove to our nearest pharmacy in order to pick up from our Amazon delivery box our bet wheel. So we now have a legit wheel bet wheel. So listeners, it's dry erase marker, so we can write whatever our punishments are. So listeners, please tweet them at us. Tweet your ideas for good punishments that you want to see us do if we lose our wheel bets. The only bet we have currently going on is that Nick thinks that Emmanuel Sanders won't get 90 targets in at least 14 games, and that's with me. So while we were doing that, I was listening to my iPod, and it was on shuffle, and a song came on, and I was like, hadn't heard it in a while, and it was playing. I was like, you know what? The Power Rangers theme song is a goddamn banger. That song rips. It was blasting through my car. I was all kinds of pumped. It is like the prime of metal music, rock and roll to a child's theme, child's TV show. And I was reminded of just how much of a banger the Power Rangers theme song is. That's my story.
I thought that was going to lead to the Power Rangers theme song being the wheel theme song.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm not advocating for that.
Nope. Nick, that was your idea. It's a great idea. Anytime we pull out the wheel to spin for punishment, we will blast the Power Rangers theme song. Perfect. I love it. You've not watched Power Rangers as children?
If you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say
it. This is crushing. All right, well, we got lots to get to. We have obviously some news, and we're going to start our NFL draft talk today. We're going to talk some sleepers that we like in this draft of guys who could have some good fantasy value, but also just good players who are going later in the draft, names that maybe you haven't quite heard of yet. But of course, before we get to that, let us do talk and cover the news. Headlining the news was a trade the 49ers made all the way to move up to number 3 overall in this year's draft with the Dolphins. They swear, though, that they're keeping Jimmy G and that this was not for, a quarterback that they are going to then replace Jimmy G with. Lol, that's a joke. But so they moved up to number 3 overall. The Dolphins went back to the Niners pick at 12, but then they moved with the Eagles back up to 6. And so now the Eagles sit at number 12. Obviously, we all know that this is for a quarterback. They've been linked with Mac Jones, which I don't love. I would much prefer they go with someone like Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Justin Fields would be my absolute dream. That would be a glorious landing spot for them. But yeah, Clark, what do you think about this? Shaking up the draft.
I love big trades for the draft. Last year was a little bit disappointing. I think Trey Lance is the way to go. Fields just may be good eventually, but process is a little slow. I don't understand why Zach Wilson is getting all of this hype as the number 2 quarterback. It's like we forgot about Baker Mayfield. So I think this is really good for San Francisco to do this. You can be okay with an okay quarterback for forever. And San Francisco went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. So if they can get somebody good in there, super exciting, rises, you know, the rising tide lifts all fantasy assets in a year or two. Maybe tough this year, or maybe a year for last year for Garoppolo, but super exciting. Lots of movement. And then Miami going back up signifies they are not going to be drafting like a linebacker or something. They are going to get to one of these big weapons.
Yeah, I think going to San Francisco is just a good situation for any young quarterback. I would be okay here with either Fields or Trey Lance. Some things to like I don't know, monitor and for San Francisco fans to freak out about over the next couple of weeks here is that John Lynch and whoever else went to Alabama's day tomorrow, actually, I think it is, and Ohio State's is also tomorrow. So there's another contingency of 49ers fans going to Ohio State. So you could speculate whether they're going with Mac Jones or Justin Fields. And Kyle Shanahan was quoted saying today, quote, "To move up to three, we had to feel good. There'd be three guys we'd be comfortable with leading our team for a long time. There's a chance to get there with four or five. There's five guys at that are kind of at this party." So that first sentence there, leading the team, makes me think that they're not up to three to draft Kyle Pitts, which is what I thought hilariously would have been an awesome, like, just flex for them to trade a whole bunch of first rounders to get Kyle Pitts. But it sounds like they're going for a quarterback, whether that's to start this year or to sit behind Jimmy and go.
Yeah, I thought that quote by Shanahan was pretty funny because it seemed like he sort of told us, yeah, so there's basically three guys we're considering. I mean five. And so it's not a quarterback because he like totally reversed course.
There's only three people. Oh, shit. I gave away our position.
I mean five. Yeah. So anyway, you guys tell me if I'm making too much of a big deal about this, but I have not been able to get the photo. Okay. This is not what I meant, but I have not been able to get the photo of Mac Jones after the national championship out of my head, where he is shirtless smoking a cigar. And this is like Eli Manning, like he is in worse shape than Beachbody Eli Manning. And all I can think of is like the two quarterbacks that come to mind who apparently just did not give a shit about their body was Roethlisberger and Winston. And obviously those two carry like huge character red flags, but I don't, how much should we care or not care that this dude apparently never gave a damn about going to the gym? To me, this seems like a red flag, but I might be going way too far into the weeds with this.
I feel this like is the it's, first time seeing this.
It's so. Like, it's an anti Joe Burrow, basically. It's like trying to look cool smoking a cigar. I believe Mac Jones, though, is a follower of the Church of Tim Tebow. So I don't think that he has a huge, like, I don't know, character flaw. His teammates apparently love him, but I don't get why you would trade up all the way to three to draft like a statue.
Yes, it makes zero sense. It would actively make me annoyed if the 49ers drafted Mac Jones, traded up to get Mac Jones, because it's not that you can't be a statue in the pocket quarterback anymore and have success. Like, I think you certainly can. And Kyle Shanahan's system, like, could be one, you know, there's a lot of comps to him being compared to Matt Ryan. And obviously Shanahan, when he was, you know, offensive coordinator for the Falcons, Matt Ryan was an MVP candidate under him. So it certainly can be done. And he has other traits for him, but it's just, to me, it puts a cap on the ceiling of a young quarterback when you're learning how to process in the NFL, learning how to, you know, kind of get everything situated. And when you're playing in the league, if you don't have that ability to extend plays, to run, to have that part of your game. So I hope that this is like all smokescreen for Mac Jones, and ultimately it's, you know, the decision between Trey Lance or Justin Fields that they're going for. I mean, who knows? We will see. But yes, the Mac Jones not caring about his body, I give him mild props. It takes a certain level of confidence to be a professional athlete and be like, I'm not going to work out.
Sorry, I've spent this whole time finding the photo to get to show Clark because he was saying.
Oh, I found it.
God damn it. All right, well, there it is. Now we have it on Slack.
Good. Very Alabama. You're like, yep. Yep.
Like, okay, you have the keys to the most dominant program in college football right now, and you're not going to lift a fucking weight. Like, you're cool.
He didn't just need being to.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
right.
They won a championship. So take that, Nick.
And so that's what do you think about that? It's like, why, how did he not, I don't know. I guess I would hope for more from a young man who's like he has to lead a franchise next year.
Yeah, you let the other guys do the heavy lifting. You're the quarterback,
right?
You know, you're the manager.
I think you're talking about the backup quarterback, Clark. Like that's what the guy who gets to hold the clipboard gets to do. Anyway,
hey, Jay Cutler never had any problems. He was fine.
True.
He was a heavy hitter now and again.
Now, that said, if Shanahan picks him, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, it makes
sense.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, we'll definitely talk ourselves into, like, Mac Jones being fucking amazing and, you know, being the perfect quarterback for this offense. But, yes, on face value, I'm just excited for Nick's search history to now contain Mac Jones shirtless.
So I'm old enough that when I search someone's name plus cigar, I was like, oh, I hope this doesn't get body. Yeah, we're taking it back to 90s dad jokes here. All right.
Well done. All right, let's move on to the news. We talked about this as a possibility last week. Sammy Watkins was visiting the Baltimore Ravens, and he has indeed signed with the Baltimore Ravens. And so the Ravens, after losing out on pretty much every free agent wide receiver, has seemingly gotten their guy. And we mentioned last week that, you know, Sammy Watkins, his 1,000-yard season did come when he played under Greg Roman as the OC in Buffalo. So that could be something. I don't know. Nick, what do you think about Watkins landing in Baltimore? Does this preclude them from making – oh, okay. Well, good. So you think there are still moves to be made?
What are we doing with this? I mean – he's good for like one game a year in Kansas City and they have an ascending quarterback. I don't know. I think this is one of the worst decisions that they've made like in the Lamar Jackson era. Why invest in Sammy Watkins? He has shown like his body is broken down. He had like substance abuse issues. I know it's only a 1 year. And as you said, like $5 million commitment, but like there were serious playmakers that they could have added. I am way more excited by the idea of Kenny Golladay or Will Fuller going to this offense than I am Sammy Watkins. I don't think Watkins will really be available. And I think it's a bit of a redundant skill set that they already have with Hollywood Brown. Like I get that Watkins can play X, but he's a downfield receiver. So anyway, no, I think this is stupid. I don't get it. I don't like it. I hate it.
The optimistic view about this is the Ravens, they need bodies. Like they lost Willie Snead, right? That's a thing that we're talking about, is that they lost Willie Snead. Not that he's good, but like he played a lot for them. They had Dez Bryant last year. They need people to play. I agree with Nick that he's had a lot of trouble staying healthy and been really unproductive in Kansas City, which is a feat. Like Byron Pringle had more good games. And is good. Like no shade on.
But that is certainly to take note that if a receiver doesn't do great in Kansas City, the probability that he's going to go somewhere else and suddenly thrive, not really.
This is like a 50% Marvin Jones move. Like we talked about Marvin Jones last week. Marvin Jones, probably not a great fantasy asset, but man, what a good move by the organization to bring in a solid, good veteran wide receiver to a team that needed wide receiver help. Feels like the Ravens are trying to do that with Sammy Watkins, but the injury history is just, it's not there anymore. When he plays and he has that good game, he looks great. And then that's it.
But so just to unnecessarily ram this nail on the head even further, he's a weird locker room presence, right? Like he's part of that male superiority cult. He's got like a lizard god. Right. This isn't someone who's like, you know who I'd really like to have influencing the cousin of Antonio Brown as though he's already not got one. Like, oh man, I hope he doesn't listen to that guy in his life. Let's bring in Colt Lizard King guy. What? This it's insane.
This is breaking news to me. I learned more listening to this podcast than
well, it's how well we intake information and then digest it and like give it back out. I mean, you know, it's Nick is just doing a perfect job of concising like this whole thing. It's a cult lizard king, is Sammy Watkins in a nutshell. Moving on in the news, the Bucks have continued to just keep everyone in house, and their final piece of the puzzle was Leonard Fournette. What's his Lombardi Lenny. Is now back in Tampa. Jordan, any feelings with Leonard Fournette staying in Tampa Bay? Is he the him and Ronald Jones duo is still going to always drive fantasy heads nuts. But I don't know. Do you feel anything in particular?
Not particularly, just because it's hard to trust. Again, hard to trust Bruce Arians with what he does and how he distributes and whose backfield he says it is. And I still kind of think that they're going to draft a running back. The guy I'll talk about a little bit later has already had a conversation with the Tampa Bay Bucs. So it's a toss up, and I still don't think Leonard Fournette's good. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, not much to add. It's frustrating, and he's okay. You know, it's going to run hard. And
I had some gumbo last night, given that we're talking about the NFL's representative.
I want to keep track of the number of times we bring up Leonard Fournette on this podcast, and Nick's immediate response is something gumbo related. It's at least one for one.
His weight is like out of control because he eats Cajun soup. We can't not talk. Anyway, sorry.
It's delicious though. And I'm definitely in post, definitely going to keep that long pause after Jordan's conversation just to like fully cement how blah we are about Leonard Fournette this year in fantasy, regardless of where he is. All right. Finally in the news, not fantasy related. This is a story that has been, obviously making its way around the news for a while now, but I feel like it's time to talk a little bit about it. As of Monday, 19 civil suits have been filed against Deshaun Watson, filed by women from three different states in terms of sexual misconduct. And SI today just released an article about a masseuse who is not involved in this suit, but also experienced sexual misconduct from Watson during a massage session. I highly recommend you go read the article. It is obviously like uncomfortable to read, but the actions described are wildly inappropriate. And with all this information coming to light, with similarities between known stories, it's starting to look more and more like a inexcusable, unacceptable, and inappropriate pattern of sexual misconduct from Watson over the past few years. And there's obviously will be some sort of resolution that comes to this, but it is pretty wild that within the matter of a month or so, the conversation surrounding Watson has gone from where will he play to will he play again? So a news topic certainly that we will continue to track.
I don't really have anything else to add on top of that, except to have people absorb as much information as possible. Highly recommend not just the SI article, but going to read the details in the lawsuits yourself. Like, there's a lot of information in there that you can glean. And Deshaun Watson's a very talented football player, but that's also just not something that should be glossed over because he is, one of the top guys in the NFL. And there shouldn't be a tolerance for this like there has been in the past for a few other names. So we shall see.
I think you said everything well, Pete. Sorry, my dog is trying to kill a squirrel through the window right now.
Technically the family.
That's right. Good for him.
So anyway, I think that you summed it up really well with the categorization of what seems to be a pattern of behavior. It's entirely possible that this is, things are not as they seem. I'm skeptical that that's the case. This like consistent woman after woman, basically communicating the same like means of contact, what happened at the massage appointment. Anyway, yeah, it looks, I don't think that I'll be surprised if Deshaun Watson never plays football again.
All right, before we get into our NFL draft sleepers for this year, let's take a quick ad break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we are back, and we've officially made it to draft month, so we're going to start our draft talk as we move forward with some sleeper players, guys who aren't slated to go in the first or maybe second round, but names that you that could be big impact guys in 2021, both real football and fantasy football. These are guys like the most obvious examples recently, like a DK Metcalf who went in the end of the second round, or a Terry McLaurin who went in the third round, both of whom made immediate impacts in both real and fantasy football, and are guys that if you have a sense of them going into the draft, depending on where they land, you might be able to get the upper hand on your league mates in redraft fashions. Clark, let's start with you. Who's a guy going into this draft that you are a little higher on than maybe most people in terms of fantasy potential or light or football potential? Excuse me.
So we're going to stick with the running backs here. Those guys have opportunities to come from nowhere, undrafted free agent, to be on the fantasy radar immediately, but not picking a name from the top. So Trey Sermon is a running back who played at Oklahoma for 3 years, really just 2 years, and then transferred to Ohio State last year, where you had just an unbelievably productive, however shortened, season. What I like about this guy is I think a knock against him, but something that NFL coaches really like and real football watchers appreciate, I think, is he's just very good at everything. He doesn't have the blazing speed, so there's no footage of him taking a swing pass out of the background and outrunning the cornerbacks and going 99 yards, but he always seems to be taking good angles. He can catch. He's fine. He takes really good angles. He presses the hole. You can tell that he's thinking about what is the defender going to do 15 yards down the field, and takes really great angles to mess that up, and then runs with really good power. So I think he'll probably grade out to like a 4.55 or a 4.6, even though I don't think, you know, 40 speed matters too much, but things like that are going to knock him. And that may be why you'd be able to scoop him up in the 10th or 11th round of your draft. And if he gets a break on a team that doesn't have much at running back and doesn't take one of the big three running backs that we're all super excited about this year, he has a lot of potential to start 10, 12 games for you. Just a fantastic all-around football player.
Yeah, he feels kind of like a Zach Moss to me, where if he gets drafted to a team, regardless of that, he's probably going to go to a team that has maybe some questions in their backfield and could be a guy who, once he gets opportunity, shines in that opportunity and maybe takes that backfield over a little earlier than anticipated, or has a larger role in the offense than maybe his, like, where he goes in the NFL draft would predict. So I like that as someone to like point out, because those are always guys who you want to keep track of, regardless of if they, you know, if you ultimately do draft them in your fantasy league, or if they're just someone on waivers, you can get the upper hand on that by knowing that name, having that name in the back of your head. So when you see reports that like he's doing well in camp, or, you know, whatever team gets him has fluidity at their running back position, that he's a good guy to have always, you know, marked and flagged in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I think that Trey Sermon is one of those guys who can really improve his draft stock if he just comes out and has a freak level pro day. I don't really watch a lot of like full college football games unless they're happening like in that moment. I'm not a guy who just goes back and watches full games, but I did catch them play Clemson in the college football playoff, and he's not built like Derrick Henry, but throughout that game he kind of just seemed to get stronger and stronger almost, and it was almost like he just didn't have an off switch. Like he was just grinding, like he had something to prove. I think he could be a great option for a back to be, or to be a workhorse back for any team that might be feeling like they have a little bit of a deficit at that position.
All right. Well, Jordan, you also have a running back that you're high on.
Yeah. So Demetric Felton out of UCLA, he's kind of a dynamic gadget running back slash wide receiver who lined up in the backfield a lot this past season at UCLA about 81% of the time. But he can play in the slot, and I think he'd be a very like scary jet sweep option for a lot of teams. Daniel Jeremiah has said that he was damn near uncoverable at the Senior Bowl. And if you go and find some clips of him basically doing one-on-one drills against different defenders, he is dusting them. Like he is a very good route runner for somebody who they're playing as a running back, but also could just be like a closer to a slot guy. I kind of compared him to being this year's like Antonio Gibson, and that he's a guy that could end up picking up steam for fantasy drafts if he's in the right situation, as a guy who's going to either catch a lot of balls or just be like the utility guy who they design stuff for. I think he has a lot of work to do in terms of being like an actual runner. He doesn't look like fully natural at doing it. He has good patience though, and maybe just work at being better at cutting. I think that he, if he goes to a team like Miami, who coached him in the Senior Bowl, so they know a little bit about him. I also think they wanted like Lynn Bowden to be that kind of player for them, the jet sweep wide receiver running back, or Pete, you'll love this, like New England would be fun for him. And he didn't run particularly well in his pro day, but just this is going to be a season and an off season this year where you're really going to have to look at game film, because a lot of these like athletic measurements are just, we're already seeing it. They're already off the charts for a lot of people. Yeah. And it's a little bit like you watch them a little bit more on game tape this year, because the unofficial numbers are, they're just insane. There's so many people under 4.4 already.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculous. It's incredible. Like Micah Parsons just like ran like a 4.3, and you're just like, this is, I mean, Micah Parsons is also stupid fast and can cover sideline to sideline, but that number is absurd for a man of his size. This is kind of tying into who I like as a sleeper this year as well. This role that is developing in the NFL as this kind of gadgety, lines up in the backfield, can also line up out wide or in the slot, can do the end arounds, can do, you know, sweeps, screens, whatever. Like that is becoming such a defined role that it offers with it a lot of reliable fantasy value if that player can like solidify it, because of the fact that all of those touches are scripted. You know, obviously if it's a running back, you're going to get the ball. And if it's a screen or something, like the play is designed for you to get it and you to make plays in space. And so if you're a player who can be able to fully maximize those situations and those instances, and he's on a team who knows how to do that, like you mentioned, I mean, I would obviously love anyone who's dynamic on the Patriots, but also like we saw how well Curtis Samuel played under Matt Rhule in Carolina. That's could be a possible landing spot, that there's opportunity for these players to kind of come in as a rookie and put up good numbers because of the fact that so much of their production is just built upon them making plays after getting the ball relatively near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Just to hit on the point here. We've always, you know, if you watch tape, you always get excited about these people, because when you're 5'8 and super fast in college, that's big enough in college to really have an impact. And those plays are amazing to watch. And for years, we've seen those guys kind of come into the league and fail because they're just not big enough, or they're no longer fast enough. It's like, yeah, you used to be a lot faster than that center linebacker for Washington State. But the guy that you're playing against in Pittsburgh also runs a 4.4. And so you no longer look really, you're no longer that exciting. But he has the build and the possibility to go to a team. And we've seen these guys have more success with Nyheim Hines and Antonio Gibson and things like that. So the NFL is actually starting to lean into these players. It's really exciting. And, you know, Felton going to the right team will be really nice, especially in PPR leagues, just the kind of flex where you're like, I really just need 12 points. That's well within his capabilities as a rookie.
And this ties in nicely to my guy. Like I was saying, I was looking for this kind of role as this gadget kind of player who can be used backfield, also out wide. And that's wide receiver Jalen Darden for me out of North Texas. He is 5'9", but super fast, hyper elusive. Like his ability to make defenders miss is next level. And obviously that was apparent. He had 19 touchdowns last year, 74 catches, 1,000 plus yards, not a contested catch winner. Doesn't have the size to go up and win 50-50 balls, but he is like, I feel like he is kind of like I was talking about Matt Rhule, and that's why I brought it up. I feel like he could fit how Matt Rhule used Curtis Samuel in terms of, you know, can be in the backfield, can run jet sweeps, can throw him screens, but also has the speed and the hands, obviously, to be able to get down the field, win routes, win the nine route, blow the top off of defense, and play that role for a team. So I like you said, Clark, I think that what you said is really good, is that the NFL has become better at figuring out how to reuse guys like Tavon Austin or guys like, and this is why I always will like have a little bit of John Ross love in my heart, is because I just feel like there's so much potential there for him to like break out. And I want to be the guy who claims that breakout. And so guys like that, where it's like the NFL is becoming better at using these players who can do a lot on the field. And I think that Jalen Darden is going to be a player who's probably going to go maybe third roundish, maybe early fourth roundish. But if he goes to a team that knows what they're doing and has a clearly defined role for him, that he could quickly kind of put up solid enough numbers, and those numbers being reliable that you can trust them week in, week out.
Yeah, I like this pick in terms of, well, because he's very similar to my pick as a pass catching back who is not like one of those tiny scat backs, though, where if he's in on third down, you kind of know exactly what they're doing, like a Ito Smith type of player or an Eno Benjamin. Just like, I don't think those guys that are like 5'6", a buck 80 are going to last very long in the NFL, or at least not put up very significant fantasy stats for you on a week to week basis, or even on like a DFS basis. So guys who are like 5'8", 5'9", who can still pack on some like NFL weights, like the best example of that would be like Aaron Jones, who's not a big guy. He's still pretty short, but he can handle the NFL load because he's not like a compact dude, like a Mighty Mouse running around out there.
All right, Nick, wrap us up. Who's your draft sleeper this year?
So credit to the PFF forecast guys for turning me on to Kellen Mond. And reading through Lance Zierlein's profile on him, I have come to really like him. Basically, they brought him up. He's quarterback, Texas A&M. Brought him up as a like late day two guy or maybe early day three guy, as a quarterback that could succeed if a team were willing to commit constructing the offense around him. Zierlein's comp for him is Colin Kaepernick, which is obviously a really exciting prospect. He's got a big arm. He's able to run the RPO offense pretty well. He has some processing issues, like basic decision making. But what was interesting was that when you kind of look at his accuracy across all like situations, whether it's a tight window or not, it doesn't really shift all that much. Now, that doesn't mean that he does not just like drastically overthrow guys, but it's basically his accuracy, I think, has more to do with him than like mentally than a failure or an inability to complete tight window throws. They're just mental lapses. He's not like the John Elway type pocket passer in his stature. He's 6'2", 205, but he had some pretty decent raw statistics while at Texas A&M. And I think that, I don't know, any offense that's well-designed and a team that's willing to build around a quarterback-specific playmaking ability, like this would be a pretty fun player if were he given the chance to quarterback an NFL team and they really committed. I think this would be a really fun player to watch.
Yeah, on fake teams, I just did my first mock draft for the year, and I had four quarterbacks going in the top four picks, obviously. And so once those guys, like there are, I would say, a clear five guys at quarterback. And then after that, I feel like it's just going to be, you're going to have QBs going in the third, fourth, like there's going to be later round guys who, there's still teams that need quarterbacks. Like I had the Jaguars, Jets, Niners, Falcons, and Panthers all drafting QBs, and that doesn't address the Broncos, the Patriots, if the Lions want to get someone behind Goff, if the Washington football team, if they want to have someone behind, like there are plenty of teams out there who still would need a quarterback. And so, again, like the NFL is becoming smarter. It's just becoming smarter in how they approach or more willing to adapt. And we've seen teams that are like, we will construct our offense around a guy. So if Kellen Mond, who has that athletic ability and can make the throws, goes to a team that is willing to say like, yep, you are our guy. We're going to put you in the best opportunity to succeed. Elway to the Broncos seemed like a great destination, even though he's not typically Elway's guy, but maybe Elway has learned his lesson and maybe you don't draft only 6'6" quarterbacks who can throw cannons and can't really aim. But that seems like an opportunity where there is a lot of offensive talent there, and him falling into that situation, or him falling into a situation where there is a clear hole, but a talent around him for him to succeed, then that's a really great pick.
So, football guy is Cecil Lammy does a lot of work in Denver. He's on the radio there, and then also does work with Football Guys, which is an awesome site and awesome podcast. If you're not listening, you should. He's made it very clear that John Elway is in his last figurehead year. He's being paid to not come into the office, and they are just doing him a solid by not firing him. So they brought in new staff, and they will be heading in another direction. Mond is an excellent pick to keep an eye on, certainly in like dynasty leagues, but then in your keep on your, you know, waiver wire short list when we have these situations like in Detroit and Denver where there is technically a quarterback there and you know that they're not excited about it. This type of pick is the guy who second half of the season can put up some really good fantasy numbers a la not Jordan Love, the other guy in Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts. Yeah, so this is the kind of quarterback who can do that, who may fall off the radar 6 weeks into the season. So just keep this in mind. Really good pick, Nick.
Also, I'm like really personally hurt that I didn't mention the Patriots as a landing spot. Like, you're already built this offense around Cam Newton. Let's just plug this guy in too.
Cam's going to ball out this year. So
Cam is going to ball out this year.
To Clark's point, if you're like, if a guy like Taylor Heinicke can come in the last, like in the playoffs and in the last couple of weeks of the season, then why can't like another athletic type of quarterback just come in and start delivering for you? I like Denver as a possible place for him to land. If, you know, Elway is really just a figurehead now, it's good that Mond doesn't have to be 6'4" or taller. I'm thinking of other teams too, who are definitely in need for a quarterback switch either this year or next year and aren't really in the position to grab one of the top four or five guys like Chicago or like a Minnesota. They could be an interesting team to watch in like day two or day three to add someone like Mond.
Awesome. Well, there you go. This is, like I said, this is just the start. We are the pinnacle, not the pinnacle, the tip of our NFL draft iceberg content. There we go. So we will be making sure as we roll deeper into April, we will be ramping up our draft content and conversations. But we figured we'd start it off here with some guys who maybe you're not hearing a lot about, because we will spend plenty of time talking about the Jamar Chases and the other wide receivers. I just did the mock draft. You think these names would be on the top of my head? Anyways. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball shows. Fantasy baseball season is starting. It's about to start on Thursday. So, you know, if you play fantasy baseball, make sure you subscribe to get that great content. We have a ton of stuff going on at Fake Teams, including our super deep draft kit. So if you're drafting right now, please check it out, faketeams.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Hit us up with your wheel bet punishments. We will make sure to include them on the wheel. You can follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark. Jordan at Jordan Smith, Jordan_Smith27. And Nick at Ginger_Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week. Until then, peace.